Join us as Pastor Ron Duty teaches us about the prophecies of the birth of Emmanuel, God with us, and how we can have hope in the future because of the fulfillment of these. Jesus has given us light, life, and purpose.
And somebody said things like, can you sing? The only thing that I would ever take credit for is just making a noise unto the Lord, like a joyful noise. And someday, maybe, when it'll get to heaven, the Lord might bless us with. Some of you don't need to be blessed, right? You can sing. Other of them, we need to be blessed a little bit. And so whenever we get to heaven, maybe God will make it possible for us to sing aloud to him. Maybe it, you know, heaven's going to be a wonderful place, so I can tell you that. Sometimes we think about that, and the more we seem to talk about, the more we want to end up going there, seems like sometimes, doesn't it? Thinking about all the wonders of heaven. All right, but look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. So now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, but minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. I love reading that part of the Christmas story. And around our house on Christmas morning, we usually go over to Luke and we read the story there in Luke of the event that took place. But can you imagine what that morning might have been like for Mary and for Joseph when they looked on the face of this baby, and this baby's name would be Emmanuel, meaning, being interpreted, God is with us. There it was, after 4,000 years, finally come to a realization that all the promises that had been made in the Old Testament about the coming of the Christ child, the time had come. And now there he was, in their presence. Now, this, whatever you think about this, it almost kind of make us think about the promises that you and I look forward to of his second coming, doesn't it? I know from 2,000 years ago, whenever Jesus left, he said he was coming back, and 2,000 years has come and gone, and you and I are still looking for the day when Emmanuel, God with us, will come again. And folks, one of these days, just like this morning was, after 4,000 years, this morning became a reality. And one of these days, in the near future, I believe, the reality of his second coming will take place. And we will wake up or stand up or whatever and realize that this is the moment that we have been waiting for over 2,000 years, that they have been talking about, that has been prophesied about, that this event was going to happen, and now it is or has happened. So let me take you back to the very beginning in Genesis for a minute. You don't have to turn there, because I'm going to take you through Genesis and bring you through it. And hopefully, in the next few weeks, we can kind of go back and reflect upon a couple of those verses and build upon them that brought forth this moment in the life of the Emmanuel, God being among men. Now, there are, as you study Scripture long enough and you read enough on prophecy and all these other books that are out there, you'll find out that there's a thing called the red line of redemption, or some would call it the scarlet thread of redemption. You ever heard of that? They say from the very beginning of time, God had said that he was going to do something miraculous and that he was going to save people from their sins. And then after about 4,000 years of waiting on him to do it, he's ready to do it. And this is the beginning. So if you go back to Genesis and kind of look at some of the prophecies that some would say are prophecies, all right, in the Old Testament. You ever read Genesis there in chapter 1 where it said, in beginning, verse 1, in beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then it talks about the earth being void and without form. Then all of a sudden it said, let there be light. Now, whether you agree with this or not, it doesn't really matter, I think, but it's a good thought. And that is that they would say that that is the beginning of the prophesying of the coming of the Savior into the world. Because the first thing that the Savior was going to do whenever he comes into the world is that he was going to bring light into the world. And if you'll study John, you'll find out that the Bible says there that he was the light of the world and that he shone a light in darkness. And as a result of the light shining in darkness for anyone and everyone that would recognize that light, they come to know God, Emmanuel, God with us, and it could become a reality in each and everyone's life. So we'll come over and say, well, that's the first glimmer of hope in the Old Testament. The other would say, well, everything that you look at in the Old Testament, that it's something that is going to point to the time whenever God was going to do this miraculous act. For instance, in Genesis chapter 1 again, and I think that's about the ninth verse of Genesis chapter 1, there it talks about what God does as he begins creation. And if you see what he did on the third day, it said that, and I find this kind of interesting. Sometimes you'll talk about things like, well, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? You ever heard those questions? Questioning God, they try to trick you up and to mess you up to say, well, God can't do this or along those lines. But whenever you study Genesis chapter 1, verse 9, it says on the third day, that the first thing that you see that he does on the third day is life comes forth. Life comes forth on the third day. Now, there's been things created on day one. There's been things created on day two. But whenever you look at day three, you find life. And some would say, well, that's a prophecy in a sense, because whenever Christ comes, that whenever Christ would come into the world, Christ would die. And as a result of him dying, he'd be resurrected on the third day. And what would he bring forth from the grave with him? Life to you and to me. If there was no resurrection, there would be no life. And so they said on the third day, and I'm just throwing these things out, okay? You can agree with it, disagree with it. You say, okay, I'll give you this, I won't give you that. But regardless of what you do or not, it seems like everything that you read in the Old Testament is going to point to the time whenever God is going to send his son Jesus into the world, either the first time or the second time. So let me give you something here. Whenever you study Genesis chapter 1, you'll find out several things that take place. First, you find out light comes. And then whenever light comes, And whenever life comes, purpose comes, meaning for life. And we see all those things taking place in Genesis. So here it is on this particular morning in verse 23. It says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," being interpreted, "God is with us," meaning that we have life, we have light, and we have purpose. Then, of course, you can move on through Genesis, and I'm not going to touch all of these because there's too many. But if you go to Genesis chapter 3, don't go there, but it just jot it down. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 through 15, there it gives a prophecy where the serpent is going to be crushed, and the foot of the seed of the woman would be bruised. And some would say, well, that is prophecy in itself, is that this is a picture of what would take place on the cross of Calvary as a result of Emmanuel coming into the world and being with us. Now, if these things are true, God is trying to send to you and me a tremendous message. And the message is this: at that time, 6,000 years ago, is "I am coming." And then, of course, fast forward 4,000 years, and there he is. He comes. So you and me, we look back on it, and we see it as history. And what does he do whenever he comes? Again, he brings life, light, purpose. And notice what it says in verse 21 of Matthew. It said, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And that's a unique name. The name Jesus in Greek is Yeshua. And Yeshua means Jehovah saved, or the Savior, or the salvation of Jehovah. So we have to hear that God comes to save his people. Now notice what it says, Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Unique, deep thought here. Here it is. No wonder they called him Emmanuel. God is there. And of course, you can go to Genesis chapter 4, dealing with Cain being born, and Eve looking at Cain. Now, she understood, I think, that the Messiah was coming. I think she knew that because of what had already been said. And here she is, she's holding Cain in her hand, and she said, look, I've got a man-child from God. So in her heart, and I don't know whether she would have been thinking this or not, but the possibility, and some would say within the Hebrew writing, that it is implied that when, if she looked at Cain thinking, maybe this is the baby that's going to redeem us. Maybe this is him. But I do know this, all right? Now, as you look down through history and as you look down through time, they were always looking for the Messiah to come. They were looking. Each baby that would be born, maybe this is him. Maybe this is him. And maybe this is him. And then finally, this is him. Now listen, we can go to Isaiah chapter 53. And this is where I'm saying, maybe over the weeks ahead, we can kind of touch on some of these. We can go to Isaiah 53, where it gives a description of the Messiah. And we can go to Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, and many other scripture passages in the Old Testament that speak of this Emmanuel, whenever God would come and he would be with us. Now, let me give you a little bit of information that I think, that I believe is taking place here. In the Old Testament, it was always that God was for us. God is always for us. But now, not only was God for them, but God was going to be with them, and he was going to be with them through the power of the Spirit of God. And you and I, when we think about the time that we live in today, we understand that we live in a time where Jesus said to you and me at this church, lo, you know what he said? Lo, I am with you always, always. Well, just a comforting thought, isn't it? Especially in a time that you and I live in. Now, we look at this and we see, as we look back over 2,000 years ago, we see that then has happened, is taking place. Emmanuel, being interpreted, God is with us. Now, let me just take you to Matthew, the 24th chapter for a minute, will you? Matthew chapter 24. How many of you like that chapter in the Bible? Anybody out there? Man, I love it. I hear people say whenever they read Matthew 24 that Matthew has all been fulfilled. Matthew 24, it had been fulfilled, and it was fulfilled around 70 AD. Now, if you think and put yourself in the position of the disciples, which you this morning, if you would, let me give you their thought. Notice what chapter 24, verse 1 says. In chapter 24 of Matthew, it says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the building of the temple." And we wonder ourselves, well, why would they do that? Why did they want to show Jesus the temple? Because it has something to do with the 23rd chapter of Matthew. Because the disciples was expecting Jesus to do something, all right? And if you understand what it was that they were expecting to do, they were expecting him to set up a kingdom upon this earth, right? As a result of Emmanuel, God with us, God's here, God now, God's going to set up a kingdom, and his kingdom is going to be forever. But if you study the 23rd chapter of Matthew, you find out that he went to the Pharisees, he's talking with the Pharisees, and in verse 28, it says, "Behold," of chapter 28, he said, "Behold, your house is left until you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Let me read that to you again. I mean, this is to me is exciting. It says in verse 28, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Now, the disciples were going to get him aside there in chapter 24, verse 1, and they take him outside the temple. Of course, he's going outside. He's leaving the temple. And here, if you put it in modern English, whenever the disciples were talking to Jesus there in Matthew 24, they actually looked at him and say, "Hey, what's up? You know, what's going on? You know, for 4,000 years, we've been waiting on you. And now you've came. And we've been waiting and expecting Emmanuel, God with us. And whenever God would get here, God was going to establish a kingdom. He's going to set up. He's going to rule and reign here in Jerusalem. And now here it is. You're saying that you have seen this desolated and that they would not again see you again until they say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So what is it that's going on? And so Jesus is going to give them a message. And the thing he said is going on, he said, "Listen, I'm going to fulfill," now listen to me, he said, "I'm going to fulfill Daniel chapter 9 first. And whenever Daniel chapter 9 is fulfilled, then you're going to get what you want. And that is that I'm going to redeem my people from their sin." Back to Matthew, don't go back to Matthew 1, but there was a Jesus who shall save his people. How's he going to do it? He's going to do it through the cross of Christ. Amen. And he accomplished it on the cross. He set us free. So let me just throw this at you in points this morning, and we'll just cover point number one, all right? Whenever Jesus reveals himself in the Word of God, he reveals himself three different ways. First, he reveals himself as a prophet. The second, he reveals himself as a priest. And the third, he reveals himself as a king. And we're all familiar with that. I know you've heard this time and time again. So here, the first thing he's going to do is reveal himself as the prophet. And in Matthew 24, he's telling the disciples, this is what's going to go on. It's not what you think. It's not the way you think. It's the way I work it out. And whenever I finish doing it my way, then you're going to get what you want. Isn't that great? Now, you and I, we know that for 4,000 years, they waited on this birth of baby, and finally this baby is born. Now, we know the prophecy that said one day he's coming back, and you and I are looking forward to that day when if he comes back and fulfills the second part of that, or would you be the king, not the second part, the third part, be the king. The second part is priest. And if you study the book of Hebrews, many of you are familiar with the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews says now that he had died on a cross, he's the prophet first. Now that he died on the cross, he's gone into the heaven. And because he's gone into the heaven, he is our what? Great high priest there ministering for you and me, waiting for the day when he will come back and establish that kingdom. Now, notice what he said there at the point. So Jesus went out and his disciples departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down or torn down. Now, he said this for a reason. You know what the reason is? Not that he was going to talk about things that were going to take place in 70 AD, even though he did, or was, but in reality, because he was going to talk about things that were taking place in the time that you and I live in. The next event on God, whenever the rapture would take place, whenever the tribulation would come, the millennial reign would come, and God would establish his kingdom upon this planet, he was going to talk about those things in Matthew 24, 25, and 26. But before he did that, he had to say to these individuals, let me give you a sign that you will recognize. And if you recognize this sign, then you'll know that I will do all these other things. So let me just give you a little bit of a clue. Now, if you study in the Old Testament about his first coming, all those things that were fulfilled back there with the sign that he was going to come into the world, and it happened. And now we have all the different prophecies that of what he's going to do in the end of time. But he gives a sign here, and he says, all these stones will be removed before all these things happen. How many of you are familiar with 70 AD? Some of you are familiar with 70 AD. Now, if you look at some religious organizations, they do not believe in a millennial reign. They do not believe in a tribulation period. I believe in a tribulation. I believe in a millennial reign. Some do not believe in that. And they believe, and they say, well, all these things that Matthew fulfilled around 70 AD, and I do not believe that. I believe 70 AD was for a specific reason, and Jesus was saying, well, if you can see this, whenever you see this happen, then you'll know that everything else I say will happen one day. It will take place. Otherwise, he could have said anything he wanted, and people just have a blind faith just believe without any type of concrete proof that these things were happening. So in 70 AD, you know that the temple burnt, Rome burned. Every stone was moved from its place because of the gold that ran down into the stone. They were after the gold. They were getting the stone down. The prophecy came through. Could you imagine, again, back like Mary, and if she looked on Jesus' face, she saw Jesus that morning, and Emmanuel, they named him Emmanuel, God with us. She said, I am here. It's the baby. And the excitement that would have been in Mary's life, and if she saw this event that was taking place, now, could you imagine? Now, Jesus was around 30 AD, somewhere around there, died. The temple burned in about 70 AD. Just fast forward about 40 years, all the disciples would still be alive, and they'd see all this taking place. Could you imagine the excitement that was taking place in their life as they'd seen this? All this would come back to their mind. He said this would happen. And because he said this would happen, then we know these other things will take place. Man, I love 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. I love Thessalonians, chapter 2. Not chapter 2, but the 2nd Thessalonian. I love the 1st Thessalonian. I love 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. It talks about things that's going to take place in the future, death, burial, resurrection, or the rapture, and all this type of thing. And all I'm saying is that a lot of people today are saying the same thing that a lot of the old people in the Old Testament were saying. You know, when will this event ever happen? You've been talking about it for all these years, and nothing happened. Now, all of a sudden, on that morning, there it was. And people are doing the same thing today. Whenever we talk about the rapture, they say, well, you've been talking about that for years. We talk about the tribulation. That, so you've been talking about that for years. You talk about the millennial reign. They say, you've been talking about that for years. You talk about Christ coming back and all this. They say, you've been talking about that for years. Been over 2,000 years. Where's the end? And I'm telling you, one morning, reality is going to set in. And it's all going to begin. And listen to me. I know that we can throw a lot of things out there saying, well, this, but I think the rapture is, it's about ready to happen. It's about ready to take place. Folks, listen, my thing is this, that event took place. Emmanuel, God was with them. He came and he's coming again and he's coming soon. Be excited about it. I've shared this with you before, but I remember one time this guy who was supposed to be an engineer wrote a book. How many of you remember that book he wrote? And he predicted a certain time. He said Jesus was coming back. The rapture was going to happen on this specific date, and it was going to be in the fall. So you need to be prepared on that date. I mean, did anybody remember that book that was written? Man, I mean, millions of it was sold. I know a couple of you. Millions of copies were sold. I actually saw a copy of it. I didn't believe it. But I had a lot. Now, listen to it. I had a lot of people come around and say, hey, do you believe that's going to happen on that day? I said, I don't know. Good. I think the world is ready. I said, good, Atlas. But and somebody, well, we don't believe it. I'm not a date setter, don't get me wrong, but I believe that they are being, I think it's near, and God's ready to do something. Emmanuel, God's coming. He's going to be with us. Now, here's the thing, what we did, I shared this with you before, but that day, on that particular date, because there were so many people at that particular job site that were so afraid that he was coming back on that day, they were asking, is he coming back? Is he coming back? Is he coming back? How many people were talking about, is he coming back? Unsaved people, we would say, well, we don't know. You need to be prepared. You need to get ready. How do you get ready to know Jesus, you know, Savior and stuff like that? And so there was about seven of us guys. We were planning on this, all right? We made plans to do this. We were going to bring an extra set of boots, extra set of socks, pants, shirt, and all that type of stuff. And we were going to put them all over the place in the workshop. And about 11 o'clock, about lunchtime, we were all going to take a half day vacation and leave work. Well, could you imagine how that went over? Man, they missed it. They missed it. The greatest event, one of the greatest events that's ever going to happen. And they missed it. Folks, it's coming. It's coming. Yeah, we talk about people who deal with afflictions of this life. Now, let me just take you here for a minute. Afflictions in life. We all deal with them, right? I had a guy at work at the other church. His name was Paul, good buddy, some good friend. And he and I used to talk. He would always say, Ron, he said, I'm going to the doctor tomorrow. I want you to pray for me. And he said, because I think I've got these, you know, illnesses. And he said, I think that they're going to, you know, I'm afraid what the doctor's going to tell me. Have you ever been there, done that? And so he'd go to the doctor, and then he would come back to church the next Sunday. He said, boy, he said, man, praise God, praise God. You know, the doctor said, I'm okay. And for years, I mean, for years, this guy was dying. I mean, it was every 2 or 3 months he'd go into the doctor. And I told him one day, I said, I got to where I was telling him, I said, let me tell you something. He'd come back, he'd say, praise God, everything fine, Ron, everything good. And one day he came to me, he said, hey, he said, talking about his illnesses and stuff. I said, you know, I said, one of these days you're going to go to the doctor, and the doctor's going to tell you everything's not good. Everything's not good. And I said, even then, it's still going to be great. Still going to be great. You know why? Emmanuel, God with us. Doesn't change anything. Doesn't change death. Doesn't change anything. That song we sung, No Longer Fear Death. No fear death. I'm serious, big. Bring it on. We got a God that overrides death itself. And one day, even if death comes, and I'm in the grave somewhere on that hill down in West Virginia, it's going to be a beautiful place. On that hill down in West Virginia, the good Lord himself is going to look down from heaven on that gravesite, or from Jerusalem, I don't care where you're at, and he's going to say, by his power, Ron, now I think he's going to mention my last name, Duty, come on. And if the raptures don't happen, he's going to call me one day, come home anyhow, and I'm going to go home. But I'm going home. Why? Called one day, Mary gave birth to a baby, and they named that baby Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. For glory at that. One day, sound of the trumpet is going to happen. Death is going to come. What a glorious day. You're not going home. And that's time for this morning closing prayer. I'm up here. Father, this morning, again, we thank you. Thank you so much for the hope that we have in your son, Emmanuel. Thank you for the hope that we have in you, that you have worked your work in him to make it possible for us to know that there is a future ahead. Even though there are skeptics, even though there are those who will say, where is he? We know that you're there. You live, your people, you're alive. A light has shined in a world of darkness. Life has came, and there is purpose, and there is a future. Thank you so much for what you've done. Father, if there's any here that doesn't know Christ, I pray this would be their day, that they would come to know the light, the life, and find purpose and meaning for all of life. We thank you in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You have just heard a message from Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll, Ohio. If you would like more information about starting a relationship or growing in your walk with the Lord, please visit our website at www.firstbaptist.life.